First of all, thank you to Andrew for asking me to speak. It's a great privilege to be able to share with you tonight. And what I want to share with you is some passages of scripture that you will know, but that demonstrate the compassion of Jesus.
Amen.
And in addition to that, it also asks us where we are in relation to Jesus. Where are we as Christians in relation to Jesus? On Sunday, Andrew said, keep it simple. So this is a simple message, but an important message. And I hope that you will be blessed and that I speak to myself as I speak to you. What I have entitled my little talk this evening is what matters. What matters to you, David? What matters in your life, Ken? Think about it as we read these various scriptures this evening, because this is the question that I want to ask you this evening at the end of my message, is what matters to you? If I went round the room, I'd probably get as many answers to the question, what matters to you, as there are people in the room. You'd probably say your health, your finances, your family. Younger ones in the church would say their education, maybe their ambition. Some might say their politics. Some might say the virus is really an important issue in their lives and matters. Some might say global warming. We would all say our faith, wouldn't we? Those are the things that matter in our lives. So I want to draw your attention to three people this evening that Jesus hadn't met before. He met them for the first time, and he showed great compassion to them. We don't know the names of these people, but they were people that Jesus showed great compassion to. So can you turn with me to Luke chapter 7, please? Luke chapter 7, and I'd like to start at verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and much of the people of the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. Weep not. And he came and he touched the bier that bare the son that bare him, and it stood still. And he said to the young man, arise, arise. And he that was dead sat up, and he returned the young man to his mother. Now then, Jesus had not met this woman, didn't know who she was, but he had compassion on her. He saw that she was a widow, that this was her only son, that she had some status in the town that she came from, because there were loads of people with her. And he thought, what's going to happen to this woman now? Now that she's a widow, she's lost her husband, now she's lost her son. And widows at that time were quite isolated people, didn't have much funds to live by, didn't know where and what was going to happen to her. And Jesus had compassion, and he restored to her her future. Gave her back her future. Now, if you think about this lady, she probably as a young girl, had great aspirations to marry well, to have a happy life with her husband, to have a family, to do well in her life. And when she started off, she did. She married well. She had a husband, and they were happy together, and they were blessed, and they had a son. And those things mattered to this lady. They were things that really mattered to her. And then she lost her husband. What am I going to do now? How am I going to live? What's going to happen to me? Never mind. I've lost my husband, but I've got my son, and he will help me through. And then, can you believe it? She lost her son. She lost her son. So those things really mattered to this woman. She had high hopes for her future when she started, and they were dashed. Yeah. What was she going to do? She didn't know that she was going to lose her husband and then lose her son. She didn't know that she was going to lose her future. She thought that her son would be the one that would be able to care for her, given that she had lost her husband, but that was gone. So what mattered to this woman? It mattered that now she had no future, she felt. Now she was isolated. Now she had no income. She had no status. Now she was broken-hearted. She must have felt lost. Then Jesus came.
Amen.
He had pity on her.
Yes.
And he restored to her future.
Thank God.
He didn't know this woman, but he had compassion on her, just as he has compassion on us. We don't know what's going to happen to us tomorrow. We don't know what, like this woman, that she would lose everything that she had. But Jesus came, and he can to us too. The widow of Nain. Can I ask you now to turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 4, and it says that he must needs go through Samaria. Now it's interesting when I read that lots of Jews, when they came to go beyond Samaria, they didn't actually go through Samaria, they went round it. And so Jesus here, where it says he must go through Samaria, it wasn't for geographical reasons, it must have been for some other reason. And I think the reason was that he had an appointment with a lady at a well. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus at the well. And it was about the sixth hour. That means it was probably about midday and probably very hot. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Disciples had gone away to buy meat. And the woman of Samaria said unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh me for a drink, which am a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me a drink, then thou would have asked me for the living water that I have.
Amen.
Now it's really interesting in this one of the few occasions that Jesus actually said directly that I am he, I am the Christ, I am the Messiah. He actually said it in words of one syllable that we can understand, and more importantly at this time, that this woman could understand. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. And Andrew was saying on Sunday, it would be springing up from inside. Hey, isn't that fantastic? Springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me of this water, that I thirst not, and neither that I have to come here and draw water again. She didn't actually at that point understand that he wasn't talking about the water in the well. He was talking about the water, the Holy Spirit that was within him and that could be within her and within us. And then Jesus said, Go and call your husband and tell him to come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said that you have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he who thou now hast is not thy husband. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Let's just turn over to verse 25. Must have had some understanding, this woman, because she said, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Amen.
One of the few occasions that Jesus actually was absolutely clear and forthright and said that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, and that he was there talking to this Samaritan woman who he shouldn't have been talking to in terms of all their culture, but was talking to her. And actually he didn't care about what the culture was like, did he? He just had the conversation with the woman. And now just verse 28. The woman left her water pots and went away into the city and saith to the men, Come and see, I have found a man. And then verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. And her testimony was, He told me all that I was, all that I had done, all that I am. He knew it all. You have to smile when you read this passage of scripture, because this lady, she'd been through five husbands. Can you imagine? Five husbands. And if that wasn't enough, she'd now got somebody who she was living with as a husband, but not her husband. She wasn't satisfied with one. She wasn't satisfied with two, three, four, or five. She was now on the sixth. And the good part about this is that Jesus knew.
Yeah.
And he just tested her and said, Go and fetch your husband. And she said, I haven't got one. And he said that she had spoken the truth. And then, as I said, she must have had some sort of knowledge, some sort of insight, because she started talking about the Christ. She started talking about the Messiah. And she said, I perceive that you must be a prophet of some description, and that you know these things about me. And then I smile again, because when she went back to the village, she went and spoke to the men. She didn't dare go and speak to the women. The women had ostracized her. They cut her off. This woman who had had five husbands and now a potential sixth that she was living with, No way was she going to talk to these women. And she had to go and get the water herself, on her own, by herself, when all the women would normally go together. No, she was on her own. And you can imagine the conversation. She went to the men and she said, "I found a man." And the men would say, "Not another. Not another. You've had five husbands. You're living with a chap. And now you're talking about another one." She said, "Ah, but this man is the Christ. This man is the Messiah." And she recognized that. And she, through her witness, brought many of the Samaritans to Jesus at the well. And many believed. This woman who was ostracized, who was thought to not have the morals that the rest of the women would have wanted her to have, yet she brought all these people. Isn't it interesting the people Jesus chooses?
Yeah.
Chooses those that you wouldn't think he would choose. They're not the high and the great and the mighty, but the people who are sinners. And that's because it was sinners that he came to save. So what was important to this woman? We've talked about what was important to the widow. Well, she was isolated. That was important to her. She was probably lonely in her life at times. That was important to her. Relationships were important to her, quite clearly important to her. She couldn't live on her own. She couldn't live without a partner. It was also important to her that the Messiah would come, because she knew about that and she asked Jesus about it, and that was important to her. And the other thing that was important to her was that, really, like the widow, she didn't have any future either.
Yeah.
She had no future. She'd had five husbands, now a potential sixth. She was ostracized by the women in the village. She did go and speak to the men, which was very brave of her, but I think she was lonely. And the crux of this story is that this woman went back, told the village, and because of her testimony, this woman who was of no repute, probably of ill repute really, many believed on Jesus. Isn't that fantastic that he chose yet another sinner to go and share his word? And now the third scripture that I'd like to share with you is Mark 5. Can you turn with me to Mark chapter 5? And we'll start at verse 25. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered." Never mind how much money she'd spent, she'd never got better from this issue of blood. "But rather, it grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came to the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but the clothes of Jesus, I will be made whole.' And straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, 'Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging here, and you ask, who touched me?'" Of course, it wasn't like the touch of the throng. It was a different touch from the woman. And Jesus knew. "And he looked around about to see her, and to see who had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, and knowing what she had done and what had happened in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. I think this is a marvellous story, this. This woman, I don't know whether she was a young woman and had never married and therefore never had children. I don't know whether she was an older woman and had children and the problems were because of childbirth. Who knows? But she must have been so weak. She must have been so poorly. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. You know, this woman was regarded as unclean too. The people in the village where she lived, they thought, well, she's not fit. And as I say, I don't know whether she'd had any children and whether this was a consequence of that or whether this was preventing her having a marriage and children. Who knows? Well, whatever, it was a major problem. This mattered to this woman. So much that she said, I'm going to sneak up on Jesus and I'm going to get in that crowd and I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. It mattered to her so much that she would be healed, and she knew that Jesus had the power to heal her, and that if she just but touched the hem of his garment, we sang it, don't we sing it, David, do you remember? Only touch the hem of his garment. You remember it like I do. Yeah, we remember the old ones, don't we? Yeah. And so there she was in the crowd. I just want you to remember that fact, that she was in the crowd. She was healed. Fantastic. Another person that Jesus had not met before. And yet he had compassion on her. Although, I think he probably did know, but you know what I mean, that he didn't know, but he probably did know before it happened, because he would know. Yeah. She pushed through the crowd. Now, this woman was unclean in terms of the people of the village, and she was pushing, or the town, and she was pushing through the crowd. Were they getting out of her way? Were they saying, oh no, it's that lady that's not wholesome, let's get out of the way? But she didn't care. She pushed through the crowd and she reached out and she touched Jesus. Reached out and touched Jesus. Now, there are two aspects of that I want to just bring to you a little bit later on, but she reached out. And Jesus said, who touched me? Can you imagine? You're in the football crowd, all the people around you, you know. Oh, somebody touched me. Not possible, is it? Because she touched him through her faith. And Jesus said to her, when he turned to her and identified her, through your faith. You are the one that's had the faith. You have fought your way through here, despite the fact that you are not one of the hoi polloi. You're one of the poorest and most not necessarily accepted people in the town. Yet you fought your way to come and see me. And she was healed. She was healed through reaching out to Jesus. So what mattered to this woman? Well, clearly, like the others, she was isolated. Lonely, probably very lonely. Hated the fact that she was regarded as unclean. She was broke. She had no money left because she'd spent it on all the physicians. Heaven knows what the physicians had tried to do for her in those days. But she was broke, or probably broke. What am I going to do, she would say. What am I going to do? 12 years? 12 years is a long time to be poorly. And for a woman to be in that condition, it must have been heartbreaking for her. And yet, she had the faith and the courage to push through the crowd. Fantastic. thought about three different women, none of which Jesus knew before, all of which he had compassion for, all that had got and had a series of needs and wants and difficulties in their life that were really important to them. Those things that they had, no son for the widow, the illness, and then the woman at the well whose relationships had all gone wrong. They all had needs that were really important to them. Jesus sorted their problems. Isn't that wonderful? Even though he didn't know them. Even though he didn't know what the problems were, in our human terms at least. He probably did, but... So we've talked about a whole series of things that were important to these women. Actually, they weren't important. They weren't the issues that were important to these women. The important issue was that they had an encounter with Jesus. They had a personal and a real encounter with Jesus. All those other troubles, all those difficulties were gone because of that personal, real and effective encounter with Jesus. And that's what he can do for you, and that's what he can do for me. Now, the important question for us. Need a drink of water. This is water out of the well. What have you done about this personal relationship that you could have with Jesus? Now, I look around the room, and I believe that those of us that are here profess the name of Jesus, which is wonderful. There might be people listening that don't profess the name of Jesus. And my prayer is that if any of you who are listening haven't had that personal encounter with Jesus, that you take the opportunity tonight to have that personal encounter, because all that future that you don't have now, Jesus will restore in your life. How fantastic will that be? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that wonderful? So if you're listening and you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus, take the opportunity, once you've heard this, to find him and ask him into your life. Now, but what about us? We have a relationship with Jesus. Well, how deep is that relationship? How important is it to you? If you remember the account of the lady with the issue of blood, there was a crowd. Now, they were following Jesus. They were all followers of Jesus there. Are you in the crowd? Is that where you stand in relation to Jesus? Just one of the crowd? You can be much more than that. You don't have to be just one of the crowd. And what about the woman who had the issue of blood? If it was left to her, her relationship with Jesus would have been at arm's length. She wouldn't have been any nearer than that. Jesus turned to her and said, well, turned to the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" And he drew her in. And what did you say, David, when you spoke the other week? Draw near to God. Well, she drew that near. And then he turned to her and drew her closer. Are you like the woman, at least initially, at arm's length in terms of your relationship with Jesus? You need to get a bit closer. I need to get a bit closer.
Amen.
Not at arm's length. The crowd, they might have been followers of Jesus. This lady, certainly, she had a great blessing from Jesus and was a follower of Jesus. In Ephesians, Paul says, I am a prisoner of God, a prisoner of Jesus, captivated by Jesus.
Amen.
So my challenge to you and to me is that we should move closer to Jesus. We should be like him, seek to be like him, claim his holiness in our lives. Be like Jesus. Claim the victory in our lives through Jesus. Walk in his footsteps.
Amen.
And you've seen the picture, haven't you, with one person walking through the sand. And Jesus said, that's when I carried you. Well, that's what it says on the poster. So whether you are not a Christian, you need to get to know Jesus. And if you are a Christian, you need to just think about, I need to think about, how close a relationship do we have with Jesus? You know, I believe that there's a job for me to do somewhere in this world for Jesus. And I'm going to do it. Because the Lord will give me strength to do it. But I also want to get to know Jesus better. The job that I've got to do will be done so much better the closer and the more that I know Jesus. So take that from me in terms of encouragement this evening, that yes, we can be believers in Jesus, yes, we can be blessed of Jesus, but we can always get closer to him, and he's keen, able, willing to come close to us and enfold us in his arms. And what's the song that we sang, David? You'll remember this. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus. 'Tis my plea. So as Christians, we need to walk closer and closer with Jesus. And part of the way of developing that is through the Word, through reading the Word, learning the Word, using it day by day, trying to absorb it into our systems, living the life that Jesus would want us to live, so that when people see us on our bikes, when people see us in the street. I was blessed on one day when I was in Spain. A guy came up to me and said, you're a Christian. How do you know that? I said, I knew him, but by the way you live.
Amen.
That's fantastic. That just felt great. That just felt, and that's what we need to be, and I need more of that. That we're closer and closer to Jesus, so that as we walk down the street, people say, oh, you see that guy there? And then they watch what they say to us, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
When we're out on the bikes, they say something, you know, some of these guys that when Andrew and I are out on our bikes, and they turn around and say, oh, sorry, Steve. You know, oh, sorry, Andrew. Didn't mean to say that whilst you were here. You know, because they know. And I pray that they also will come to know Jesus. So let us move closer to Jesus. Let's take that as some encouragement.
Amen.
To move forward and closer to him day by day. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, God.